This is how we ought to handle threats and problems that face us. Spread the matter out before God in prayer.
Thanks for joining us on Mission 66, an adventure through God's Word, brought to you by TWR and the teaching ministry of Dr. Luis Seau. Today, we'll learn about God's continuing provision and the discipline for the nation of Israel in the book of 2 Kings. Find your free downloadable study guide at mission66.org. John Matthews and Esther Sisulu are waiting, so let's dive in.
In today's episode, we're moving further into the second book of Kings, chapters 18 through to 20. And here, we're learning how Hezekiah reigned in Jerusalem from 715 BC to 686, that's 686 BC. Now, during that time, he was able to face down a threat by Assyria through his faith in God. And our teacher, John Matthews, will bring us today's theme, Spread It Out Before the Lord.
Esther, thank you so much. Great to see you and a very warm welcome to Mission 66, wherever you're joining us from today. It is so good to have your company. And here we are at a stage in the Bible where we are witnessing really the twilight and the weakening of the old monarchies of Israel and Judah. In our previous episode, we saw how Israel, that is the northern kingdom based of the 10 tribes, based as well in their capital, Samaria, was conquered and destroyed by the invading Assyrians. God allowed it because the nation had turned almost entirely to Baal worship, despite repeated warnings from God's prophets. Indeed, you know, the Assyrian power continued to expand and dominate the ancient Near Eastern region. But once they had conquered Samaria, this mighty Assyrian force next turns their sights towards the southern kingdom, Judah. So what was going to become of the kingdom of Judah and indeed the city of Jerusalem, which was its capital? Well, as we read this account, we're going to see how Jerusalem is spared from invasion, largely because of the prayers and the faithfulness of one good king. Let's see what happens then in 2 Kings chapter 18. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places and broke the pillars, cut down the Asherah, and he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. You see, the people had even corrupted what God had ordained under Moses. Then remember that bronze serpent that was meant as a remedy so that anybody bitten by a poisonous snake there in the wilderness when that event took place could be healed if they would just look at the image of this bronze serpent. But the idolaters among them had even turned that into an idol. Verse 5 says, He, Hezekiah, trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him. Wherever he went out, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. And so here we see Hezekiah is a good king. In fact, one of the better of the kings alongside David and Solomon. But verse 13 shows that his reign was not without trouble. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorpost that Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they arrived, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway to the washer's field. And when they called for the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. The Rabshakeh was a title like commander. And the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are trusting now in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants when you trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Moreover, is it without the Lord that I've come up against this place to destroy it?' The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.' Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, 'Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah within the hearing of the people who are on the wall.' But the Rabshakeh said to them, 'Has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall, who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and to drink their own urine?' So this Rabshakeh was really insulting the men of Jerusalem, threatening them with a slow death by starvation and thirst because of an extended siege which they were preparing to mount. But then he makes a fatal mistake by challenging and insulting God in verse 30. 'Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, "Make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat of his own vine, and each one of his own fig tree, and each one of you will drink the water of his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. And do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you by saying, "The Lord will deliver us." Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Zepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And then in chapter 19, we see that King Hezekiah knows exactly where to go for help, because it says, as soon as King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth and goes into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary, and the senior priests covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And when the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, so that he shall hear a rumour and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. And so here, notice, we're introduced here to the prophet Isaiah, the one who would write the book of Isaiah, who was a prophet during the kings from Uzziah to Hezekiah. And he is able to bring good news to Hezekiah that the ones who threatened him would retreat. And that is exactly what happens, but not before this Rabshakeh throws a parting shot, using psychological warfare campaign against Hezekiah's men, attempting to demoralize Judah. This is verse 10. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them? The nations that my fathers destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who are in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Zepharaim, the king of Hena, or the king of Iva? Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Isn't that how we should handle threats and problems that face us in life? Spreading the matter out before the Lord in prayer. And verse 15 says that Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. Whom have you mocked and reviled? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes to the heights? Against the Holy One of Israel. And then in verse 28, God promises to deal decisively with Sennacherib, saying, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will turn you back on the way by which you came. And verse 32 says, Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield, or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went home, and lived in Nineveh. And as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, Adramelech and Sharezer his son struck him down with the sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon his son reigned in his place. And this was the very thing that Isaiah had predicted was going to happen. And then in chapter 20, Hezekiah contracts an illness, and we're paraphrasing the rest of the chapter here, and the prophet Isaiah informs him of his impending death, and in his despair, Hezekiah prays to God, asks for mercy. God hears his prayer, grants him 15 more years of life. Isaiah instructs the application of a paste made of figs to an ulcer that Hezekiah has, or whatever the illness was, and so he recovered. And so, to confirm God's promise, this miraculous sign occurs. The shadow on the sundial of Ahaz moves back 10 steps. Now, we're not going to even try to explain that astronomical miracle. It is enough for us to accept what's written here. The text also warns that Judah would suffer in future due to its infidelity and its sins. And the chapter ends then with an account of Babylonian envoys visiting Hezekiah. An unwise moment, uncharacteristic of an otherwise good king, Hezekiah shows them all the treasures of his kingdom. Isaiah rebukes him for revealing those things to the enemy, and he prophesies that all of those riches would eventually be carried off to Babylon. So there we go. Hezekiah, despite his flaws and weaknesses, was a good king. His accomplishments, including the construction of a reservoir and a water tunnel for Jerusalem, they are in the annals of the kings of Judah, and I guess his greatest legacy is his faithfulness and his trust in God. And he demonstrates, doesn't he, Esther, the powerful truth that when trouble threatens, spread that matter out before the Lord in prayer.
He certainly does demonstrate that, and it's wonderful to hear of a king that was doing right in the eyes of the Lord, despite his own shortcomings. Well, you're listening to Mission 66 with our teacher, John Matthews. I'm Esther, and hey, we've been breaking down chapters 18 to 20, and we're definitely reaching that final stretch of the book of 2 Kings, and this is all concerning King Hezekiah. Now, John, what do you think made Hezekiah stand out against all the other kings of Judah?
I think the fact that he relied on God alone, but he still doesn't expect God to do everything. He strengthens the defences. He does what he can. He orders the construction of tunnels by which water could be brought in. And, you know, in ancient times, when someone wanted to conquer a city, they would often surround it and not allow food to be brought in. They would try and cut off or poison the city's water supply, so everyone would suffer and perhaps surrender or die of thirst. So Hezekiah trusts in God, Esther, but he also takes initiative and takes steps to defend the city.
Now, when it talks about the angel of the Lord having killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, do you think that this could have been some natural event, you know, which the writer perhaps may have attributed to an angel?
Yeah, the Bible says it's a miracle, and so we can take it at face value. There are some who spend a lot of time trying to come up with natural explanations. Greek historians, for example, suggest there was a plague of rats in the Assyrian army, so that these 185,000 were wiped out by something like the bubonic plague. Yeah, look, God can act quickly and he's never late, and he solves this difficulty pretty swiftly. And the account says it was the angel of the Lord, so that's what the Bible says. No need to question it further.
Well, that's absolutely true, John. But you know what? Here's another question in a similar vein, because it comes out of chapter 20. And we see that, you know, King Hezekiah has this illness and then he recovers. So who cured Hezekiah of his illness? Was it God or the poultice of figs?
Well, I think the answer can be both, or yes to both, Esther, because God, of course, can heal supernaturally. He's able to do that, but he also can use natural means where possible. So, of course, there's reason why there are doctors and lawyers and bankers and builders. You know, often when God answers our prayers, he does it through other people. And so that's why it's important for us to pray for the sick, pray for situations, believing that God heals, but also know that he uses medicines, medical experts, and so on. Now, during Hezekiah's 15 extra years, his son Manasseh is born. Now, worth just alluding to that, because Manasseh turned out to be pretty much the worst king that Judah ever had. So then you could reframe it by saying, well, was it truly a good thing that Hezekiah was healed? Look, something there to ponder as well, isn't there?
Well, you know, as our friends ponder on that, I just want to state how interesting it is to hear about archaeological findings that validate biblical accounts. And, you know, here we see the text mentions these reservoirs and these tunnels that channeled water into the city. Now, has any of these been confirmed by archaeology? Have they been found?
Yeah, absolutely. That tunnel is right there in Jerusalem for anyone to see. And actually, the longer archaeology has been digging in the Middle East, the more evidence has come out that confirms the biblical accounts.
Well, John, I think right now we should take a moment or two to summarize before we wrap up the episode.
It's going to be just a single moment, because 2 Kings 18 to 20 are summed up very simply by saying that whenever Hezekiah faced threats or illness, he spread the matter out before the Lord in prayer.
Well, that most certainly is an encouraging way to wrap up today's Mission 66. Thanks, John. And hey, friends, we'll be back again next time, same place, as we move further into 2 Kings, and hoping you will come through to join us for that journey. Well, my name is Esther. For John and our team, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to joining you next time on Mission 66.
Let me remind you to head on over to mission66.org to download your study guide. It's free. Dive deeper into the Bible teaching of John Matthews and learn how it all relates to your Christian walk. Tag along with John and Esther on our Bible road trip, episode by episode. Your study guide's waiting for you at mission66.org. That's where you can also post your questions or make a comment, and even help out with a donation to keep Mission 66's heart beating around the world. Hop on over to mission66.org. Mission 66 is a partnership of TWR and the ministry of Dr. Luis Seau.